From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, November 6th. Coming up, a University of Illinois theater professor touched the lives of nearly everyone she worked with. We'll hear more on that remembrance in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. A federal judge yesterday ordered authorities to improve a Chicago-area immigration facility after a group of detainees sued, alleging they were being kept in inhumane conditions. Jennifer King reports.
U.S. District Judge Robert Gettleman criticized the conditions as unnecessarily cruel.
The conditions at the Broadview Heights facility were unconstitutional, disgusting, and were unacceptable.
Alexa Van Brunt is with the MacArthur Justice Center. She spoke to reporter.
People need to be held in places with actual beds and a mat, and they have to have sufficient places to sleep. They can't be sleeping by overflowing toilets anymore.
In another Chicago courtroom Wednesday, a deposition by senior Border Patrol official Greg Bovino was brought into evidence during a preliminary injunction in a lawsuit filed by plaintiffs who say agents in Broadview have been too forceful. Bovino defended the use of force by agents, including himself, accused of using pepper balls, tear gas, and other tactics against protesters and reporters. I'm Jennifer King.
The Illinois Department of Corrections is working to make an emergency rule for scanning prisoners' mail permanent. Capital News Illinois reports the rule requires incoming mail to be searched for drugs and other contraband before inmates are given an electronic copy. IDOC held a public hearing on Tuesday as part of the rulemaking process. Lindsay Hammond is the policy director for the advocacy group Restore Justice. She argues the department should wait until they have more data on where and how contraband is getting into prisons.
Other states that have implemented mail scanning have not seen a decrease in the drug use or the contraband coming into facilities. So we want to make sure whatever policy is implemented is going to be effective at protecting the safety of people who live and work in prisons.
But employees at Illinois prisons say they already see improvements because of the new process. IDOC could have to stop scanning mail if they don't adopt a permanent rule before the emergency rule expires in January. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's proud to see Democratic candidates winning elections around the country. Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani will be New York City's first Muslim mayor. Mikey Sherrill of New Jersey and Abigail Spanberger of Virginia have defeated Republican challengers in their gubernatorial contests. Pritzker says there's one big reason for Tuesday's blue sweep.
They talked about affordability. And didn't just talk about it, they actually acted upon it, proposed things, and are getting things done. And I'm proud of that fact. I think that is what the Democratic Party is all about, delivering for the people.
Pritzker says voters have to, quote, do everything we can to push back on Donald Trump. And Governor J.B. Pritzker has ordered all state and U.S. flags in Illinois to be flown at half staff to honor the death of former Vice President Dick Cheney. Cheney died on Monday from complications related to pneumonia and vascular disease. Flags in the state will be flown at half staff until the end of the day next week. Still to come, a University of Illinois theater professor touched the lives of nearly everyone she worked with. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 63 degrees, with a south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with light rain after midnight and a low of 48 degrees, south wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, a chance of rain in the morning, otherwise becoming mostly sunny with a high of 68 degrees, a west wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 38 degrees, a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Saturday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 59 degrees, with a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, a major distributor of books for libraries is shutting down. We'll talk about why and how that could affect what you're able to find at your local library. Plus, a man who's eating his way across Peoria, one TikTok at a time. I'm Brian Mackey. All that's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Latrell Bright was a pillar in the Champaign-Urbana theater community. She was a director, performer, arts advocate, and teaching professor, and she touched the lives of nearly everyone she worked with. She passed away in late September. Illinois Student Newsroom's Adeline Moy has this remembrance.
Latrell Bright was born in Ocala, Florida, in 1971. Her love for theater began in childhood, sparked by a Broadway production of Annie. She was hired by the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign in 2009 to help coordinate a theater program focused on social issues. In 2020, she became a teaching professor in the theater department. Bright would grow into one of Champaign-Urbana's most beloved artistic leaders, a director, mentor, and friend whose work transformed how theater could bring people together. Sheila Perinas is a former member of Urbana's Station Theater Board. She says Bright made a strong effort to bring more diverse stories and actors to the stage.
The performances that Latrell would put out there in the community, not just at the Station Theater, but everywhere else, really made you think and it challenged you. And I think that's what she wanted. She wanted the audience to feel challenged. She wanted to bring something new, a new perspective.
Brian Morgan, theater director at Parkland College, says though she excelled at social justice theater, she also cherished the joy of theater itself. He recalls the time that she directed a production of A Charlie Brown Christmas.
She just loved that she got to do this fluffy, fun, you know, theater thing, because in her heart, as serious of a professional as she was, she loved theater for theater. She loved that it could be fun and silly, but she also loved that it could be impactful and change your life too.
Morgan says Bright's greatest strength wasn't just her raw passion for theater, but her humanity in her work.
She knew how to not only be a professional in the room, but also connect with you at a very human level, at a very empathetic level. And it wasn't just about the work, because she knew that the work would be at its best if we were all humans doing the work together, not just, you know, a cog in the machine.
No matter what kind of show she took part in, Bright created a space of openness and trust. Stage manager Kendall Johnson says that trust defined her directing style.
What makes her different from other directors I've worked with is that she trusts implicitly everyone. And there's one thing collaborating with people, and then there's a completely separate thing if you're collaborating and trusting them, right?
That trust flowed both ways. Actor Courtney Malcolm remembers how Bright allowed herself to be moved by the work she helped create.
I remember making her cry, like kind of moving her in a way that with a specific monologue. And that also just like was flooring to me to be able to move this force of nature that was Latrell. And like, I think that was a huge strength of hers, because she allowed herself to be moved.
For many, Bright's warmth extended far beyond the stage. Actor Kimberly Schofield, my colleague at IPM News, remembers how Latrell's energy could make anyone feel seen.
But she would see your performance and she would give a genuine compliment back to you. And in that compliment, sometimes it would be, you know, you are light. And she would hug you and she would, her hands would just linger on your arms. And you could just feel like her own light radiating into you. And you could feel that she was just so genuine in her compliment. She really was a person who wanted people to shine as brightly as she did. And I don't know that she even recognized how brightly she did shine, but she really did.
That light was impossible to ignore, says Lisa Dixon, a former colleague.
And I tell you, she's a very petite woman with a brilliant smile. But when she walked into a room, it didn't matter her physical stature, energy gravitated toward her. Not because she was trying to make it happen, but just because that's what it wanted to do.
Dixon says Bright saw value in everyone's story.
She had genuine interest in what your story was, no matter who you were. And not only a genuine interest in that, but a genuine desire to make sure that your story could get told.
At the U of I, Bright continued to make waves. Jacqueline Moreno is a recent graduate of U of I's theater program who took almost all of Bright's classes. Moreno says that Bright was always willing to give chances.
Because she was that kind of person, she would consistently let us try and try again, because for her, it wasn't failing. It was just tripping over ourselves for the first time. And she was helping us get back on our feet. She was amazing for that.
Bright's collaborations extended beyond the classroom. Smita Wishwaswara is a physics professor at U of I and worked closely with Bright on Quantum Voyages, an interdisciplinary project about the quantum world.
She let every single person glow in their own right, and then she brought them together as a constellation. She knew how to connect the most beautiful of patterns, you know, and make meaning.
She says Bright didn't shy away from ugly truths and always spoke up for people.
I cannot imagine life without Latrell. I really cannot. And it won't be without Latrell, because her legacy, it's there. It's like, I don't even want to say legacy. It's because it's the light. It's the light. It's the gift.
Steve Taylor, another Quantum Voyages colleague, says Bright's down-to-earth nature was just as remarkable as her brilliance.
You know, like there's a saying that you shouldn't meet your heroes. But I think with Latrell, I think a lot of us kind of saw her as a hero. And she wasn't like that at all. You know, it would be great to go hang out with her, have drinks, ride on a bus, be on a long car ride, whatever. It was just great.
Bright was comfortable with imperfection. That left a mark on Sophia Urban, a former mentee who helped organize Bright's celebration of life.
She's very much a person that was able to embrace the fact that she doesn't know everything. And that is something that was so powerful for me to witness, of this person that I like really respect and admire and look up to. She wasn't afraid of that imperfection, and was very honest about that. In the room with actors, with designers of, and that I think also just made everyone who was involved in that process be so open to having their voice being really present.
Latrell Bright passed away on September 21st after her previously treated breast cancer spread into the bones of her spine. Her husband, Rex Bennett, says Bright's legacy was never meant to be carved in stone, but lived instead through connection.
The legacy that she would want wouldn't be the way we normally talk of legacy. I don't think she really wants a monument, you know, an edifice erected for Latrell. I mean, I think what she did, in fact, what she did for the most part was ephemeral. She would have plays that weren't recorded, that if you weren't at the show, you don't really know what it was. Right. You could read the script, but you don't really know how she directed people, what her vision of that script was, unless you were there. And, you know, for these shows, she would pull together a group of people and that would become a temporary community. And sometimes if she was lucky, there would be long-term connections that would be formed.
And now, Bennett says, it's up to those she brought together to carry that legacy forward.
So how do we, as those who remember Latrell, as those who are pulled together into those communities, how can we make sure that those connections don't just fade away?
On a brisk fall day, hundreds gather at the University of Illinois Arboretum to celebrate the life of Latrell Bright. They sing and move their bodies in a collective act of artistic movement. They raise their arms, spin in circles, and flutter their fingers. As the music fades, many share smiles, embraces, and tears. Artists, friends, colleagues, family, many of whom had never met before, but they share one thing in common. They've all been touched by the light that is Latrell Bright. I'm Adeline Moy, IPM News.
That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Jennifer King, Capital News Illinois, Mawa Iqbal, Arjun Tucker, and Adeline Moy. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.